Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Auto Group Studios, experience the power of one with 8 brands and 25 locations. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
It is Dom time. Welcome in, everyone, and it is bonus coverage. And boy, Kirk and Henry look like they've been following the RFK Jr. program to get ready since we'll be on to 4:30 today. We have footage of RFK Jr. working out. He does look pretty good. Well, working out in jeans. I do not do that. It's just the running in jeans. Wintertime. You know, I'll be coming to the mid-March. I go to shorts. Maybe November is when I go back to jeans. What's the big deal? But RFK Jr. working out with Kid Rock, shirtless, another faux pas, and then he jumps into a cold plunge in jeans while drinking whole milk. Yes!
What a combo.
What? We're ready here. We're ready with the... And I'm seeing people on Twitter say, I need some gym expertise. I've never seen this. Again, Henry, you will never see pictures of me lifting weights in jeans. I don't do it. Just so you know, just so you can put that down with Dan in there.
At least that's one thing.
There we go. Yes, at least one. But on Twitter, they're saying, you know a guy's really serious. That's why he's jacked up. If you work out in jeans in a gym, that's a sign you're really serious. I never heard that. I can't believe that even a little bit. All right.
I mean, I think I could. I mean, it's like someone who's coming straight from work. He's like, I'm not getting changed. I'm getting my pump in. I'm leaving.
I know. Okay. I haven't seen it in the gym I go to. So
neither have I.
Yeah, no.
Not too many hardos like that.
Okay. So we'll be here until 4:30. Great guest. Ennis Freedom is back, and he's going to talk about the Chinese figure skate, Chinese American. But I got to write myself a note here. Note to self. What, you know, sometimes, Henry, this happens. You go all out. And he's on today, and of course, he was an NBA, I would say, semi-star. I know you guys, my son, and you, he couldn't guard anybody. Come on now, the guy played in the NBA, I think he averaged close to 18 points a game for 4 or 5 years and 10 rebounds at one point. Come on, don't dismiss him. How would you play in the NBA if you were afraid the Turks were going to grab you at halftime and take you back to Turkey? You know, it might be pretty difficult. But Mark Cuban, showing once again how un-American he is. Have you seen this, Henry? I know your sports. You haven't seen it.
No.
Oh, Mark Cuban saying the NBA should encourage tanking. Socialism already here.
Oh, I did see that.
Make the game experience more memorable, but encourage tanking because fans really don't care about their team winning and losing. Okay. Now, basketball is usually the one where this happens the most. I guess a little bit with hockey. People ought to, and I know it's the infrastructure too, but how is it you don't see the NFL with much tanking? I think they get the message, hey, you don't want to be doing that overtly. You know, I'm taking Henry Machete. Yeah, what college should he throw for? Well, it's in Pennsylvania somewhere. He's quarterbacking today. Dom Giordano's his backup. Okay. Let's play. You know, you could just satirize it. Put anybody out there. Why not? So Mark Cuban, though, come on, saying we ought to be encouraging tanking, but just people don't care about the competition. They're there just for memories. I'm sure some people are casual fans. But most people go to the game. They like the competition of it. Even last year's Sixers games. I mean, you know, they don't want to be told it's blatant tanking. We're just going to lose tonight. Race to the bottom. Okay, we'll get to that.
I tend to disagree with you a little bit.
Okay, all right.
Because there's no point of being like, say, the Flyers and being a middle of the pack, know nothing, not contending for the playoffs, not contending for a championship every year. There's no point in that. It's either bottom out, do a rebuild and do it right, or don't do anything.
So you're saying people will go to the games to see what then?
They won't.
Oh, okay.
I think he's mistaken in thinking that people would just want to go watch crap. But
right, yeah, that's what I'm talking. Yeah, Also, we have baseball doing something I really don't like. Two things. We'll get to it in detail. One, you're not going to be able to tell a ball and strike in the box on TV. The box may not even be there. Why? Because these geniuses are putting in Big Brother umpire electronically. Why are we going down this path? You know, I believe almost is fighting for human beings versus technology. Roe will tell you, I sat there when Watson was on Jeopardy. Even though I don't like Ken Jennings, I'd root for Ken Jennings. Screaming at the computer, blow up, say something crazy. Get penalized, get thrown out of the game. Why in the world are we taking away one of the things, the home plate umpire, their strike zone, I think is the charm of baseball. Why are we doing that? Oh, because we want technology. We want to be accurate here. Okay, we'll see about this. But they're not going to show the box.
I'm for that. Yeah. I hate the box on the screen. I think it's stupid.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it's an accurate strike zone either.
Well, it might not be. But the thing of it is, taking this away because they want to put in the home plate umpire and it would be embarrassing seems to be the rationale. Okay.
They're already embarrassing, too. Well, like, we can tell. That's the thing with the automatic balls and strikes system is that it's placating for the fans that get mad at, like, the five or, the handful or so umpires that should not be MLB umpires, that cannot call a strike to save their lives. But the rest are fine. They're pretty much, over 95% accurate. It's just for the loser umpires that can't seem to.
Right. Well, I think it's all about adjustments. It's part of being a player, too, adjusting to the umpire and their bias one way or another.
Well, like in basketball, they shouldn't be calling it with bias.
Well, I'm not saying you're playing basketball. You better not be flopping. I'm not calling a charge. You really got to charge in.
That's a completely different sport now we're talking about.
Well,
a strike zone is a strike zone.
Well, each person has their interpretation in a flash within inches of it.
Well, sure, within inches, but that I think we're more talking about when there's eight inches outside and the ump calls a strike and you look at him like, what, are you stupid?
We're talking about, though, are you going to give that pitch or not consistently? Okay. I don't even know. It's so juicy today. Which one to start with? I will get to Sherelle Parker, but I want to throw the Wawa thing in here at the top. Sherelle Parker, let's play Sherelle Parker, and then I'll play the full thing. And I'll give you a quick analysis of this, what happened yesterday, and big picture on this. So this woman from NBC 10 has been bird-dogging Sherelle Parker to get her to say Sanctuary City. You must say Sanctuary City. Now, some people call Sherelle Parker a clown in this. I don't think Sherelle Parker's a clown. Now, some of you sent me stuff and said, how come she doesn't come on your show anymore? Yeah, I'm mad at that. We went all out. We had a partnership because she was the best Democrat. What are you going to do? And I'd welcome her back. I'd be one of the few people in the city who can talk with her. So the snow removal was not good. It was a tough snowstorm, but still wasn't good. Nope, not at all. And the aftermath, they really didn't do that well. But the, misspelling Eagles was kind of endearing. She plays with that now. Yesterday, she's asked, what is a sanctuary city? In other words, is Philadelphia a sanctuary city? Now, I kind of admire people on the left who say, oh, yeah, we're a sanctuary city. A lot of these lefties, like this Tellerico guy caught up in the Colbert thing, wait until you hear some of the things he says about the Bible. The guy who claimed CBS tried to keep him off. We're so afraid. He's such a powerful messenger. If America only hears him talking about Democrats and the Bible, Republicans will have no chance. Yeah, that's right. All right, so here is Sherelle answering that, not particularly well, but I'm going to tell you what she's trying to do and how this plays out with Trump and the rumor out there that you will not believe about Trump. America celebrates 250 and ICE. Oh, yeah, it's going around Philadelphia. First, here's the back and forth with the mayor.
What does the term sanctuary city mean to you, Mayor?
What I want to tell you about Philadelphia, and this is extremely important, that you, Claudia Vargas, have been provided an answer to the question that you just asked from our city solicitor, Philadelphia. That means the chief lawyer for the city of Philadelphia. Rene Garcia is our city solicitor. And what we are, the term we use to describe our city, is that we are a welcoming city here in.
All right, we are a welcoming city. There's more. There's more going back and forth. Okay. And she wasn't going to parse that at all. Now, here are a couple of things. A, her instincts, she's a liberal. She's not a progressive. She's not Larry Krasner. She's not the mob. She won against a woman who's to the left of Larry Krasner, Helen Gim. Helen, if you're in the area, Dom says hello. I say hello to your election team, too. Whose bags were packed? I think yours were, not mine. So she's got that in mind. She's got Trump in mind. And she's trying to continue with this euphemism that they're using. Several cities, Montgomery County, too, we're a welcoming county. We're not going to say sanctuary city. Money's involved. Here's a couple of things. I think Krasner is being fed day and night. You got to run. You will smoke her. You will take her out here. And I think this insufferable little man agrees with that. If Trump comes to Philadelphia, now I'm going to tell you something that's a rumor I don't share, but it's going nuts in Philadelphia. If Trump comes to Philadelphia, could be on the list, that plays right into Krasner, because I don't think Sherelle Parker's going to go wild over that. She'll try to mitigate it. Larry Krasner, morning, noon, and night. He might even arrest somebody in a show sort of thing. He can. All right, so she's got Krasner in mind here, running against her. The other thing is, the rumor is, I've heard two versions of it. Second one's worse. Trump is not coming to Philadelphia because we're celebrating the 250th anniversary of the country. And Trump thinks that would look bad, having ICE coming to these big events, Major League Baseball. What's that? Is that ICE on second base? Yeah, you know, that kind of thing. The worst rumor is, oh no, Trump is not coming to Philadelphia yet because he wants to disrupt America's 250th birthday. Oh yeah, the insiders are whispering that now. Can you imagine Trump calculating, yeah, let's disrupt Major League Baseball's All-Star Game. Let's disrupt World Cup Soccer. You know, so let's put some idea of Trump. Yeah, let's put some excitement in. It's 0-0, nil-nil. Let's do something exciting here. There'll be a lot of people to deport there. Well, true. All right, so that's what's going on here. We'll play you a little bit more of that, but I don't see her as a clown. You can differ. Coming up, we got a great side question. We're going to continue it today, though, to the final gong at 4:30. So it's got to be worthy of a lot of possibilities. So today we commemorate the raising of the flag, the American flag on Iwo Jima, which arguably was the bloodiest per capita of the entire war. And that rallied Americans, apparently. Now, there's revisionist history. This was all scripted. And I think there was some degree of spontaneity with this. But Americans rallied to see that flag go up, the way they pushed it up, the way it was on the top of that hill, after they followed the cost in lives. So we're looking for someone, something, real, fiction or film, real life, that is associated with victory, that you know there's a victory involved. Now, think of all the opportunities with that. So I'm going to take off the Gatorade bath. It's something that it is pretty much no other thing that a victory has been insured. Back in the day, it was Red Auerbach, the victory cigar. Guess you can't do that today. Imagine on the bench.
They do that.
Do they do it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
On the
in the locker room, yeah.
No,
totally.
On the bench.
On the bench, yeah. I don't think they smoke in the arena.
Back in the day, coaches are smoking on the bench. I did a side topic once of where did you see smoking? You can't believe it. And in Mad Men, they have the doctor with the woman in the stirrups being examined, and the ash is precariously coming down. He's got a cigarette
yeah.
as he's examining. So smoking on the bench, guy chain smoker the whole game. There's butts there on the floor. Red Auerbach, the victory cigar. I'm also going to take off the word relief. When I think of the win, I would celebrate, but I also feel relief that we did it, those final seconds or something. And one that's fictional, I'm going to take Hoosiers off, although the victory celebration itself is not the most overwhelming ever.
I'd agree with that.
The precursor of Jimmy's going to take the shot kind of folds into it for me, that we know what's going to happen. How about yours?
Yeah, so I'll take a few off to get the ball rolling here. Yeah. How about someone I associate with winning or championships or what have you?
Yeah.
Genghis Khan.
Yeah, true.
Famously never lost a battle. Was known for his instincts, his tactics, his discipline, and psychological warfare. He did whatever it took in order to ensure victory in battle.
Apparently, they traveled at night, and one guy was awake, and the horses were tied. The other thousands were tied. They were sleeping on a horse.
Yeah.
You hear that, it's like, oh, man. Do we have to face Genghis Khan?
Anything.
Oh, no. Come on.
Anything to win.
Yeah.
Some other things I'll take off. How about something more local? How about the greasing and then the subsequent climbing of lampposts and light poles all across the city? I mean, you got to get the best view when you're up there, right? You got to see all the festivities taking place, whether it's at the parade or the night of when they win. I mean, you got to get up there. How about a fictional one? How about in the Shawshank Redemption when Andy Dufresne crawls through the sewage system out of the prison and then gets up, stands in the rain, and puts his hands up like, finally, I've made it. I've escaped. I mean, that moment of euphoria that, like, I did it. And then I'm going to take off the song you hear running under me right now. Queens, We Are the Champions.
All right, that's quite a lot. Now, there's a million of them out there, but you got to strike quick. Kirk, victory.
Okay, so mine would be George Washington, who led the American army to victory over the British in the Revolutionary War.
Okie doke. That's a pretty big victory, an unlikely victory. The Yorktown scene, when they have them box in, Cornwallis is not even wearing his wig. It's that desperate. Where's my wig?
Very disturbing at the same time.
Yes. 855-839-1210. That's how you get on board. All right. Hit us with that. Coming up, Ennis Freedom. And throughout the show, boy, this is really, even for the Inquirer, a low blow. A guy's a columnist editor. His name is Pearson. I even sent him a reply. That's a pretty bizarre take. Claims that Wawa is on the decline. His evidence? Sheetz is putting Wawa's into, putting it their stores near Wawa in our area. It's substandard, Sheetz. That's my view. And also, he says Wawa couldn't deal with Center City, Philadelphia. That shows they're in decline. How do you take it if you give the city of Philadelphia all this money and you have these ingrates running around saying Wawa is in decline? Is it? You can tell me, and I have a poll up at Dom Show 1210. Is Wawa in decline? I say no. Hell no. 855-839-1210. Get on board.
This is Talk Radio 1210. WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
All right. Dom Giordano Show. Welcome in. So is Wawa in decline? People are bristling at that. I get this Philadelphia Inquirer guy on. Look. I know they're, you know, I can't, their business model, take Wawa to the, I think it's more of a niche, not niche, product, but okay. I don't notice it. Maybe I don't use it enough. But they're bristling at the Inquirer guy, David Pearson, saying, yeah, they couldn't even handle their business in Center City. I want to see a Sheetz in Center City, buddy. Right down there at 12th and Market with the homeless and all coming in. Oh, yeah, let's put a Sheetz there. Maybe you should run a Wawa, see what it was like. I remember even 15 years ago, Henry, they were locking up various items behind the counter, stuff that you couldn't believe that were garden variety, because they just would be stolen. They have to deal with it. And we know the Krasner made national news. You can shoplift as long as it stays under a particular value. Even then, he wasn't going to do anything. How could you stay in business? I don't get how Wawa is a patsy here, though. They fund all this stuff in Philadelphia, and constantly they have to deal with this nonsense. I think they're extremely well-run, clean. I've seen them power washing in the morning, most of the stores, I believe, as far as I know. So how in the world does Wawa fail? It shows they're a failing business because they didn't stay in Center City. And I got guys complaining on Twitter. It's the rolls, Tom. Come on now. The rolls are deficient. Oh, my God. Come on. I haven't noticed it. The ones I go to, well, there's one in Mount Airy. Haven't been in there in a while. It's pretty crowded. Oh, the pizza. I got to say, going into guys with the pizza thing, that's it. Give up the pizza. Stop the pizza. You shouldn't be in the pizza Wawa. That's my advice.
I agree.
What their pizza sales are.
They're gross. Those pizzas are gross.
Have you had them?
I have.
Yeah.
Not a fan.
Do we know what how much they bring in pizza sales a year?
That's what I want to know. Yeah. Has it even been a year they've done it?
Yeah, if you put it up, I bet somebody has taken a look. Hey, Joe DiStefano, you put it up on Twitter. Joe, if you're listening, the business guy, does great reporting for the Inquirer. You can call in Joe at any time impromptu. Are they failing? What's with this other guy over there on Twitter? Hasn't responded to me just because I said, that's a pretty bizarre take. Maybe he'll call it. Oh, I can tell you, it's failing. Sheets will come. They're going to come into Center City? Who's going to come into Center City and stay? Name what business that's going to be. All right? And if the business has bouncers there or something to protect himself, then they'll be in trouble. How can you do a business in Center City? I mean, look at remember the Macy's thing? This guy comes in, just stabs a guy working three jobs there that providing security. That's what it is. And yet, we want to put that out there publicly, and his name is on it, Inquirer columnist, the whole thing. Wawa decline. Let's get it around. Ingrates, ingratitude here. And his freedom will be 130, right?
I'm hoping so, yeah.
Yeah, he's in Greece, so yeah. We have to a lot for that. He's got a lot to say about the Chinese American skier who is treason adjacent. You can't convict her of treason, but my God, I just don't see how this is allowed. Maybe you can't have American citizenship. Look, if you want to ski for Iceland or something, I don't like it. You're an American, but okay. But the existential killers of the world, the Communist Chinese Party, propping them up? No, you got to go then. All right, Bob in Rio Grande. Henry, you're not going to correct it?
Rio Grande.
I don't think I have to correct it. It's Rio Grande. Come on now. America's diverse. People say Grande. Let's go to Bob. Hey, Bob. Good afternoon.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
So, yeah, I wanted to correct something about the Iwo Jima thing.
What's that?
It wasn't the battle, actually. They were premature when they put the flag up. They won that big hill where they put the flag up.
All right.
But they actually, the battle, they had to fight on for another, at least, I think, from 2 weeks to a month before they actually won.
It was a victory, though. We agree on that, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I just wanted to let you know that.
Sure.
And as far as the other stuff, like, you guys should be grateful for Sherelle Parker if you compare her to all the other mayors of all the major cities in the United States. I think you got the best of the bunch.
I would agree. Yeah, that's why I said she's not a clown. I mean, again, it shows you how untenable this position is, and she didn't calmly take this woman apart yesterday. But I would agree with you when I look around at Mondani. Everybody else is fighting for second place to be among the worst. What's your side today, Bob?
For the side, when someone wins a NASCAR race, they do donuts in front of the grandstand.
That's a good one. Thank you, Bob. Yeah, that's a way of looking at it. Let's compare. All right, so the mayor of Boston is constantly saying everybody illegal ought to come to Boston. Whoever the mayor of Baltimore is, that's the guy with the $165,000 tricked out car that he's driving around in. That was in the news saying it's racism to bring that up. Mondani in the news now wanting to tax, get rainy day fund, $1 billion is here. Let's spend it. Chicago's mayor is as communist as Mondani and not even, he gives you nothing. He's boring and a commie. Come on, give us something.
I don't understand
here.
How people in Chicago get elected. Those people always looked like the biggest dolts imaginable. I don't understand.
True, but Karen Bass allowed a whole town to burn down. She wouldn't even come back from Ghana. So I would say Karen Bass is not exactly covered in L.A. Let's see. The mayor of Minneapolis, the soy boy, Fry. Yeah, I think Sherelle Parker's got that guy beaten. What other big city am I leaving out here? Houston, I don't know. Although the mayor of Seattle, is somebody who never worked until she was 49 and got this job. The mom paid for childcare and all. She's definitely a communist. Sherelle Parker's looking pretty good.
Oh, she does. Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now, she did have the orange glasses on. Yeah, orange is her thing. She always wears something orange. The glasses were a little bit much. But I like how she called out Vargas. She didn't just say to the reporter, here's my answer. She said, Olivia Vargas.
Yeah. Claudia.
Claudia Vargas. You know you've gotten the answer here. And then going on a tirade, identifying the city solicitor on this. Let's get into, and Tower Rico's into this too. But the mayor yesterday, Philadelphia is a sanctuary city. She doesn't want to say it because the Trump administration will jump on it. It'll become more official. I told you what it will trigger. But this idea of the left and language, I'm going to give you coming up what I think is the worst they've done over the last 8 to 10 years. And this Tower Rico guy, I knew he was into spinning the Bible. That's why they really like him. The guy running for the Senate, Colbert, that whole thing. It's more than that. He's going to become pretty soon a Presbyterian minister. Oh, man. If you're a Presbyterian, does your church say, hey, you can kill anybody up to, I'm not sure what age. It's not in the Bible. You can abort anytime you want. Not in the Bible. Gay marriage, nothing about it in the Bible. This is the game this guy plays. And his version of the Bible, the progressive version, is God says tax and spend. That equals love. Isn't that what progressives say? You're cruel if you don't want to tax immorally, I might add, and spend, and also live the high life yourself. God says that's what you're supposed to do. That's their Bible. 855-839-1210. Grab a line with Dom up until 4:30 today on Talk Radio 1210.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.
Okay, it is Dom time with you up until 4:30 today. So the side question will be decided right at the end. Get in as many as you can. A sign of victory, person, something associated with victory, person, place, thing, real or fictional. It's got to be some outside the box. The flag was planted, Iwo Jima. On a hill they won. I guess that's accurate versus winning the whole thing. But it rallied America seeing that. It is one of the most iconic photos of all time. Okay. Those of you who really pay attention to this, how many touchstones do you hear in this that are kind of curious? This tweet. From Chelsea Clinton, the vast right-wing conspiracy wants to disparage my father's good name with fake entries and AI photos in Epstein files. The American people know better. Close, but no cigar. Trump. Going to Trump at the end. A couple things in there. One, remember Hillary Clinton talking about the vast right-wing conspiracy? Now, this is when Democrats like Hillary and Bill Clinton controlled 90% or more of the media. Remember that? It's a vast right-wing conspiracy out there. And then the cigar thing. Would that have any significance to you, Henry, from Chelsea, the cigar?
No.
Okay. How about you, Kirk?
Agreed, no.
Okay. Well, think Bill Clinton, think Monica Lewinsky, and think of where that cigar was in the Oval Office.
Oh.
Yes. So maybe somebody should tell Chelsea when you tweet, maybe you want to stay away from cigar mentions. All right. So close, but no cigar. And I had on the woman. It's a true story of doing morning drive at DB. I had on Lucianne Goldberg, who was the friend of Monica Lewinsky, and urged her to keep the blue dress. And the co-host didn't like that, really, the news person. Blurted something, and she hung up. You know how hard it was to get that interview? Oh, my God. At the height of this. Yeah, so the cigar thing is legendary. 855-839-1210. By the way, coming up, speaking of analogies, I don't think I'd ever use, but a lot of people on Twitter are using the analogy of having to put up with Brian Fitzpatrick because we need the house of the battered spouse or the abused spouse having to put up with something. That's too serious to use that one, but I'm looking for a good analogy of what it is to put up with Brian Fitzpatrick. I'll tell you his latest play around ICE. Remember the other day? Nope. He never had to wear a mask. Why should ICE be able to wear a mask? Really? This latest is, even for him, remarkable. Let's go to Greg in the Northeast, though. Greg's in on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Greg.
Hey, Dom. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hey, Dom, I think you owe me a pizza, too, don't you?
All right, get that Wawa pizza over here. Put some pineapple on it. Yeah.
That was my next thing. Put the pineapple. Now, if you want a fruit cup, go get a fruit cup. Don't put it on the pizza. I agree.
Right. But, amen.
Good line. That's right. Yeah.
The Wawa pizza, and I like Wawa. The Wawa pizza should be stricken from the menu, no doubt. Now, the only thing I imagine it's good for is drunkards going in there after 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, and they need something to fill their belly, and it can feed two or three guys. That's my only thing. It's not good.
Yeah, I mean, I saw somebody making one once, and I was appalled. It was like I was witnessing an inhumane act or something.
I am a pizza guy. Pizza's my favorite food. I probably eat it three or four times a week, so I love pizza. And even that was below my standard, so they should take it off the record.
Yeah,
but Wawa is not in decline. I think it's the opposite. I think it's actually since we had what's the chicken place, Chick-fil-A, being so nice to people, it made every fast food restaurant and every little convenient restaurant faster. Wawa's always been nice, but they're extra nice. It's not in decline, and it's actually more neighborhood friendly, I think. And I go to a lot of them up and down the East Coast from Pennsylvania all the way down to Florida. So, yes.
Well, that's good to hear. That's my feeling. And can you imagine the Inquirer saying, well, they couldn't handle Center City? That shows they're in decline. My God.
He's just a liberal jackwagon, probably. That's all. Somebody might have said something. He heard something in Wawa, got his feelings hurt, and now he's taking it to the paper. You know what I mean? Taking it to print. So I don't know. But it's my experience. No, it's not.
Good, good. What's your side, Greg?
My side question is, and it's like a story. It's the USA hockey team Olympians winning the gold medal. But it's even better that when I hear I think it was Al Michaels saying, "Do you believe in miracles?"
That to me is
champion. That is the saying of all sayings.
Gotcha. That is, very, very remembered win. I have to admit, that's not one that I get crazy. I put it up there because I get all this. I don't know why. There's not a connectivity with me with that one.
That's crazy to me, considering we beat the professional Soviets.
Yes, well, that's
college
true.
Players.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm still smarting from the basketball loss and what I would have done if I were on the bench. All right, Henry, here's what I want you to do. Go outside, get three guys in the street corner with no necks. I want to make sure they have construction boots on.
And jeans.
And jeans. They're going to play the game with a and put one of those traffic vests on. They're going to play the game like that. Let's see what the Russians do when we line up, what they're going to see here.
Sound like McCronin right
now.
And
let's put one guy can have a jackhammer when he comes in, too. That's good. A hard hat? Yes. Put them on all these guys. The Russians, right? Still can't get over that. What was that, 1972? Those cheating. God. International rules and all. How could we ever lose at basketball? It's not possible, you know. Plus, we shouldn't have put, all right, Dream Team 1 to send a message. You can't continue to beat up on Egypt and on basketball. You got to give it up after a while, you know.
Well, I don't know. I think the world's getting a lot better now. I think it's only a matter of time before they catch us.
Yeah, well, you put the dream team out there with Jordan and Bird and all, they'll still beat them by 40.
Yeah, well, because we're not playing Angola anymore.
Well,
And like I said, a lot of the African countries have gotten a lot better.
They have, but I'm saying these guys were not only unbelievable all time, they were killers. They wanted to just, not like guys today. You know, Michael Jordan's not fooling around out there. Yeah.
I disagree with that.
All right. All right. 855-839-1210. You can get a line. Hit us with something just like he did, associated with victory. What's the latest with Brian Fitzpatrick and ICE? We'll give you that. Hopefully we're going to hear from Ennis Freedom. He's in Greece, so we're kind of but we are going to hear from Corey DeAngelis coming up. He's got a lot. The NEA, National Education Association, the biggie of the teachers union, tweeting out their support for this, and even more than their support, kind of fundraising off it, if you can imagine, the walkouts. We've had a couple now where kids have been hit by cars, and we have one scene where this guy, they throw a water bottle at him, hit him while he's driving. He gets out. Blood is all underneath his entire nose and face, the blood dripping, and he whims, almost jumping in the air, punching. It's like a scene out of a Fellini, Tarantino film or something that's being filmed. When you see this guy's face and he's just walking around, he doesn't know where he is. We'll play some of that too. But I'll give you Fitzpatrick coming up and your calls on Talk Radio 1210.
This is Talk Radio 1210, WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
All right, Dom Giordano show. We'll be talking with Corey DeAngelis, the ultimate, really, in challenging the teachers' unions, these walkouts. Randy Weingarten routinely goes after him at 1 o'clock. I'm going to ask him. I think it is, but I'm open to hear this debate. People bristling on Twitter. There's a school walkout in Maryland, I think in the Baltimore area. And people are posting libs on TikTok. The math scores, only 2% are proficient, and only 39% are proficient in reading, and yet they can be doing this and walking out. I think it's a fair point to kind of say that maybe what's going on in the school should be redirected more toward this. And again, if they're walking out, well, what are you saying? They're 99 percentile and all. Okay, well, at least that part seems to be covered. But this is an ongoing battle. Now, Brian Fitzpatrick issues a press statement today. Congressman Brian Fitzpatrick's office received assurances from the Department of Homeland Security, Immigration and Customs, ICE. They have no plans or intentions of opening an ICE detention facility within Pennsylvania's 1st Congressional District. Quote, after hearing from concerned citizens, our office immediately contacted U.S. Immigration and Customs. We have received assurances no such facilities plan for PA-1, said Fitzpatrick. When questions arise that impact our community, we address them directly, establish the facts, and ensure our community has clear and accurate information. Fitzpatrick added that his office will continue to monitor federal developments affecting PA-1 and will provide timely, accurate updates. He reaffirmed his consistent position that no ICE detention facility should be located in PA-1. And if one were ever considered, he would oppose those efforts. If he'd come on, this is a stack of some more of my questions. Why? Now, we hear one in Reading. I mean, isn't this the whole thing of due process? In other words, ICE not deporting people willy-nilly. They have to be held somewhere until they get their day in court, right? What would you do with them? They're not all going to be in jail. So I think what you're saying is, well, you wouldn't hold them. You would tell them to show up for their deportation hearing, knowing they're not, and we would continue to go down this rabbit hole. So here, nothing is even happening in his district. And Fitzpatrick is out there telling people to make sure we're not going to have anything like that here. Question is why? What is the objection to that? Given the real thing, what would we do with all these people then? Where would they go? Well, I think he would say if he were on here, they would show up for their deportation hearing. No, they wouldn't. Yeah, I think it should be done in a timely manner. We shouldn't have people there forever, get more immigration judges, do whatever. But isn't that what they're doing with it until they have it up and down the line and they deport? All right, Robert in Bensalem here on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Robert.
Dom, Henry, it's good to talk to you guys today.
Same here.
Likewise.
Not much to rant about today, but I really enjoyed this question. My answer for the side question today is going to be the head laurels. Now, I know I'm treading on Joe from Exton and Zeno's territory here, but they were used early on to signify victory and triumph. They were the original medals for the Olympic athletes. Roman Caesars wore them whenever they secured a triumph. And even and it led to the expression resting on one's laurels, you know, relying on past achievements instead of striving for new successes. But even today, the Oscar statuette has a head laurel on him, signifying.
It has
ties going from the beginning of civilization even today. And I'll leave it at that. That's my answer. The head laurels and great show today, Dom.
Thank you.
Forward to it.
Thanks, Robert. Up until 4:30 today. The problem with the laurels is, I guess, you can't wear them all the time when you go out. I don't know. Is it too much if you wear the Olympic gold medal?
No, I'd wear that everywhere.
Yeah.
I'd wear bronze everywhere. I don't care. I'm an Olympic medalist. I think that's the coolest trophy in all of sports.
You're not wrong. You are not wrong, my friend.
You know, I may have to bring in my moot court trophy tomorrow.
I don't care if I was the alternate in the mixed doubles curling.
Yeah, exactly.
I am bringing in that bronze medal. I'm wearing it everywhere.
Yeah, well, how about calling Rutgers Law School up? Ask if they can whip up a medal for winning moot court. I think it was like 25 years ago or 30 years ago. Carrie, maybe 35. And I'd like to wear it on air. It will look nice.
They're in enough debt. I don't think they can go out the way to make a medal.
I think we have to design the Mulligan's Medal of Honor this year, not just the T-shirts and everything. We need some kind of medallion, you know.
I was about to say that because Henry deserves a medal or a trophy for
the
football throw.
Yeah.
I'll take laurels.
Yes, and Johnny for catching it. There you go.
Exactly right.
Well, all right. Coming up, we're going to talk with our friend Corey DeAngelis. He's got a lot on the NEA now, boldly out there endorsing this and sort of fundraising off this on Twitter, these walkouts, etc. And is it fair to point out the obvious that many of these schools, I mean, some of these schools in Baltimore having lockouts have 0% of kids that are proficient in reading or math? Zero. You might say to yourself, hey, should we really be doing a what do they put outside on the signage other than the misspelling? Zero students this year passed, but we're sending them out anyhow. Zero proficient.
It's like the opposite of a blue ribbon.
Yeah. What does it take to close a school? 5 years of 0%? Oh, well, then they'll cheat. You can't trust them. We don't want them cheating. I think they are cheating, and they still can't cheat enough. All right. And we hope to speak to Ennis Freedom, and we're going to speak with Gerald Posner about another hospital, big-time hospital, has just announced the last 24 hours they will no longer do the gender-affirming care. How about Children's Hospital of Philadelphia? They're saying, hell no, we're going to continue to do it. We're different. No, you're not. You're just arrogant about this. 855-839-1210.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3, from Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.